and that is none other than Lori Ingram. We're going to have Lori share a little bit about himself, but right before he does that, I'd like to also introduce you to my co-host, Ms. Ione McNeil, and Ione is going to interview Lori today, and we're also going to talk a little bit about the stock market game with the kids that we're doing toward the end of the show. But who are we? We are volunteers with an awesome organization called Better Investing. And Better Investing was established in 1951. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has helped over 5 million people and counting to learn how to invest profitably in stocks of high-quality growth companies. We also support investment clubs and individuals through education and online stock selection and analysis tools and publications. We're part of the Southeast Florida chapter, and we created this My Investing Story to actually share the stories of many individuals, some who are Better Investing volunteers, and some who are Better Investing members, and some who are just investors. Because the goal and the desire and the vision is to show that everyone can invest. When you look at investing your time, your talents, and your treasure, money is a large part of that. So with that, I'd like to introduce my co-host, and Ms. Ione McNeil is going to introduce our guest. And when Lori comes on, he's going to share a little bit about his story, but then we're going to get into some deep-diving conversation. So please call, text, invite your friends over, ask them to please join us, and if you're listening live on live streaming, we want to welcome you. Please place your questions and comments in the chat, and we will be able to communicate with you. And if you're listening live with us on Zoom, please also place your comments and questions in the chat, and we will definitely get to them. This is going to be an awesome show. And so let us welcome Ione McNeil. Hi, Ione.
Hello, hello. Lorik,
Ione.
I had to stop you from talking before we started the show because I was like, I got to say the good news for the people when they get on. So tell us a little bit about how you got started in investing. Where were you? How old were you when you met Ms. McNeil? We want to hear it from the beginning.
Well, let me see. But to talk about how old I was, when exactly did the dinosaurs stop being on the earth? I want to be able to frame the time. First, so something, before I say anything, something just came to mind. I'm actually out on a site in my seat. So what I would like to do at this moment is to congratulate all this year's graduates. This has been a unique time for you all, and I want to congratulate you and say you are heroes. You are graduating in a flashpoint in history. And trust me, 50 years from now, people will still be wanting to know what you did and how you did it. So I know that a lot of you guys, the things that were important to me, grad night and prom, I think I know a lot of that got forestalled. But the trade-off is, trust me, you have made a mark in history. And we are fortunate to have you. So nothing to do with our current presentation, but I had to get that out for anybody that has family members graduate. So, okay. Moving right on, I met Ann back at New Birth, and at the time I was a police officer. It had to be more than 20 years ago.
New Birth Baptist Church, for the people that don't know.
Yes, New Birth Baptist Church, Miami. The first funny part about my investing story is Ann came there to try to bring Better Investing to New Birth, and it never did take, by the way. I'm just giving you the truth. It never did take, but I got a lot from her. I'll go one step further. This is going back so far that back then, to analyze the stock, you needed a worksheet and about 20 pencils.
Some crayons.
You had to go to the library. You had to go. And so it was very challenging. But a core lesson that I got from Ann was to be able to know what my investment goals were. And from that key lesson, by understanding what rate of return meant, just that one factor, that actually ended up protecting my work, my investment accounts, my 401k, my 403b, through the big downturn in the market. Because of what I had gotten from Ann and Better Investing, I was able to stay when everybody else panicked, hold, and continue on that path. And over time, I actually left there making quite a bit of money. So I thank Ann for that. She's really been an economic force in my future. As I said, I did start doing it then. However, later, when you could analyze the stock on the computer, and it didn't require 15.
So that was, I'm going to say 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So, but the reason I do want you to share your age, honestly, is because we have a lot of older people on, and they're just now, you know, learning how to invest. And usually, so far, the last couple of weeks we've been doing this, these interviews, people are always saying, oh, it's always good if you get started early. Oh, I kind of got started at 20-something. I kind of got started. So this is, I want to just give a shout-out, you know, from you to them for the people that are starting at 40 and 50 and beyond.
Right. So, sorry, I'm 61. So it's true. I'm 61. So I did start. It wasn't my 40s that I started. But believe it or not, I mean, my goal was not, it was to protect my own money because, to quote my friend Mike Richter, nobody cares more about your money than you do. But my real goal was to be able to transmit to my sons how to start investing systematically over the course of their life. That was my goal. That was what I was really out to learn. So from that, you know, a couple of things I learned, but one of my mantra now is start small, start soon, and start smart. If you do that, you will build up experience accumulates. So for every week, every month, every year that you own a stock, you're gaining real-time experience. I don't care if it's one stock. The other thing I learned, because before I actually started investing, I did a lot of play money investing. Oh, if I had $100,000, I would do this. Now, that's good, but I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like real money. You can do that. So I did that for the longest. I had a $1 million portfolio. I had that. But when I invested my first $5,000, I couldn't sleep. It is so different when it's real money. And for that reason, I encourage start small, start soon, start smart. Start investing real money small right away. For people in their 60s and things like that, I honestly I will not recommend any serious movement of your monies without consulting with a financial advisor. But what you can do is you can start your children, your grandchildren, you can start with them and learn with them as you go. Now, as you watch and learn from what you're doing for them, you'll get more comfortable. And then at a point, you may want to make your own decision. One of the smartest ladies in our investment group up in Palm Beach is in her 80s. And she kept saying, oh, I'm going to stop. But she said she's having so much fun, she just won't stop. But again, that's a lifetime of investing that she's accumulated from when she was in her 20s. So
you first met Ms. McNeil in your 40s. You both attended and were members at New Birth Baptist Church. New Birth Baptist Church, Miami. Now, what was the gap between when you first heard about better investing and started coming to the classes to, you know, to when you started investing? And then walk us through your journey about, you know, you just talked about your first $5,000 you started invested. How did your habits start to change? Talk to us about your retirement fund and just how you've been navigating the last 20 years.
Okay. So a couple things. One of them is that honestly, when I was younger, I was on the spray and pray approach to investing. And what that is oh, buy a little this, buy a little that, buy a little this, buy a little that. And by the time you're so spread out over the entire spectrum, you're basically not making any money. Because you're just, I'm going to buy a little this, a little that. Now, the good part about that, because as I said, so we take when I was investing the $1 million, and, you know, it would go down $40,000 a day, and I would just shrug it off. It's only, now, when I invested that $5,000, my first and hardest lesson, RIMM, RIMM. I bought Research in Motion. Research in Motion handled the technical back office of the BlackBerry. And if you look and say, what BlackBerry? That kind of lets you know what happened with Research in Motion. Okay. I bought it at the exact time that the iPhones were knocking it out of the market. All right. I lost 60% on that stock. Now, the good part, start small, start soon. Fortunately, 60% of $500, which still hurt, is only $300. But if you looked at trying to do something like that on a bigger scale, and you had dropped 50 grand on there and lost 60% of 50 grand, trust me, you would not sleep for a long, long time. All right. So that was part of my investing journey. But again, what I liked about that $300 meant way more to me than those big swings I was having in my bank account, because that was my real $300. And for that reason, and I'm going to show you later on how you can get for less than $10, you can get started invested. Now, you asked me, what are the two barriers? I had a barrier back then. I get two barriers now, but the barrier that exists now actually didn't exist back then. The barrier is procrastination. You just keep putting it off. I'll do it later. I'll do it when I earn. I'll do it when I have the money. I'll do it when I buy a car. So procrastination is the first barrier. If you decide to invest small, you get rid of procrastination. Because if you can't invest $10, you're never going to do it at all, ever. So I can do more than somebody else. If $10, there's no excuse, no way to get it. So I try to get people started investing $7 a week. That's $1 a day. You can buy, if you go to Starbucks like I do, you can spend $7 in a sitting at Starbucks. So that's the thing, is to get you to start small. The other thing that is a challenge that I didn't have to deal with, that you, I only have to deal with now, is white noise and information overload. When Ann came to Newburgh, they didn't have beepers, much less cell phones. Now, we got cell phones, and every day, 100 people are telling you what you want to do with your money. You want to sell Amazon, you want to do this, you want to do that. So there's so much white noise. Hey, let me tell you, I dropped out of Harvard and made $8 gazillion on cryptocurrency. It's everywhere. So the challenge is to filter out the white noise and find a plan that you can stick with and maintain. So that one wasn't my challenge then, but it's a challenge now. And I have to acknowledge that, because your generation is the social media generation. And you guys live on your phones and your tablets. So
you are where?
I was a police officer for 27 years. I know that's not really a nice thing to say right now, but I was, and I'm very proud to do it.
So you were a police officer for 27 years. Talk to us about, are you retired now?
I am, 2012.
So talk to us a little bit about how you were able to implement what you have been learning from Better Investing, and talk to us about your investment club. How did you find them? How long have you been with them? What have you been learning with them?
I went to a Better Investing function up in Plantation, and I found Polaris because at the time Polaris had won their Better Investing portfolio contest, and Polaris had won for like the last 5 years straight. The other thing was the problem I was having, the challenge I was having with investing, is most of the groups I went to, I knew more than they knew, which didn't say a lot. And I had to get with a group that knew more than I knew. I had to get with a group that was ahead of me. Beginning investing, if I wanted to be win bids from the government and construction, I would go to Ann, because that's what she does. If you really want to get save time, find somebody that's already doing it and go to that person. So that's how I ended up going to Polaris, becoming a member of Polaris. I'm not a member of Polaris right now, because it's 87 miles from my house. It got to be just a little too much at a point. I was with them for, I think, 12 years. And I did learn a tremendous amount from them. And the funny part, I was 61, and I was the youngest one there.
And also the only person of color.
Yeah, that time I was. Yeah, I sure was. Yes. So,
very important point, and I say that because Better Investing members are such givers. And I think during this particular time, that opportunity for growth, which some people call a crisis, I think it's very important to share that, because we don't hear that.
Yeah.
Very often, and so very important.
Laura, can you talk to us a little bit about what did you do to protect your money as you were working full time, 27 years with the police department? What were you doing with your 401k? Just explain to us, walk us through. What type of precautions you were taking, what type of investment strategy were you doing to be able to, I don't know if you want to tell the people what you retired with, but you started at 40-something or you started at 50-something. So, you know, I do want to give the people a sense of a real-life person that is starting over the hill and still ended up very well off.
You can have time, you're over. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, yeah, I mean, you know, we need to talk numbers, age and numbers. If you don't mind.
A couple of things. So I left with a seven-figure retirement. So, yes, it's over seven figures. A couple of things. So, and I have to say this outright. I am not a stockbroker. I do not have a Series 6 license, so I am not dispensing investment advice. I want to be very clear that I'm telling you what my personal journey was, and it's up to you to talk to your accountant, your financial advisor, or things like that, to make a decision on what you do with money.
And so you were making these decisions for yourself after you started your own self-education process, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted the people on the call to know.
There's a funny story about that, and I actually get it from a guy named Dennis Rowland. And what Dennis said was that he had been going to a financial advisor for years and not making any money. So he said, why am I paying somebody to lose money? I can lose my own money. So I said, I'd rather learn myself. And that way, if I lose, at least it's me. But a lot of people, when you actually sit down and look at any of your accounts, for example, certain annuity accounts are set up that whether you win, whether you make money or not, they get paid. So it's not as, you know, if the market is humming along and you're making 6-7%, that's fine because they're knocking off 2%. But what you don't get is if you're losing 2%, you're actually losing
4%. You're still paying 2%, right.
Because they're getting paid, and that's true. That's
regardless.
To get paid whether you go up or down. So they're, and they're the true investors. They're in the sweet spot. The sweet spot is getting paid whether it goes up or down. The other part is, you know, losing that. So that's an important thing. So anyway, that's why I decided to learn for myself. So Dennis wrote a statement of, why am I paying people to lose money? I'd rather lose it myself, and then it's my fault. And Mike Richter's statement that when it comes to money, nobody cares more about your money than you. So the first thing I did in terms of investing, and I wanted to say I'm not a certified financial planner or anything, because many of your advisors are going to advise against this. I was never 100% invested, ever. When things were really doing good, maybe I would go up to like 60%, but mostly I was 40 and down. Never 100% invested. Because why? Because when you're making money, it's great. But when you're losing money, it's hard to get out when you need to get out. So if you're never 100% invested, even if the market completely dulls out, I always had half my money to live off of for the next 5 to 10 years if I needed to. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I never came to that. But that's one of the first things I did. So in terms of diversity, my first diversity was to always keep a huge cash position. Now, a lot of financial planners are going to say, no, you need to be 100% invested. Again, without throwing mud on them, the reason is because the more you're invested, the more they make. So I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but understand that distinction. That's a very important distinction. So I managed a family member's money. And before I took it over, that family member had three different advisors. And they had her 90-95% invested. I took it over. I could follow everything into one account. I bought one mutual fund. One growth mutual fund, a T. Rowe Price mutual fund, invested 40% in it, and since that time, the account has never gone below watermark. She draws off a nice amount every month, and she's never had her entire portfolio at risk. Rarely, now when it comes to money, I try to be sober and level-headed. The only time I came close to cursing in a meeting about money was her advisor at, I'm not going to say the bank, was trying to convince her to come out of what I had her in and to allow him to put her in a variable annuity. And the numbers just made absolutely no sense. And at a point, I almost lost it with him because I'm like, listen, you think this is just double up that for 8 years she hasn't lost any money? You know, you got to be real lucky for that. And I said, what you're doing for her, you're telling her that she's going to be better off when she's in fact worse off. Show me that annuity. Show me the track record of that annuity for the last 8 years. Well, it hasn't been around for 8 years. And at that point, a curse word almost came out of my mouth. And I just said, I tell you what, sir, I'm just going to leave. Before I say something and lose my professionalism, I'm just going to leave. Nevertheless, she stayed in what I put her in. And even through these big swings and stuff like that, she never makes any moves. In December, I go in there, she takes her dividends, and I always cut her back. Because it was growing so much, it actually got to be more than the percentage I wanted her at. So I would always sell off that percentage, put her back at the low percentage, and she doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't buy, she doesn't sell, and she's in her 70s now. What she does do is travel a lot. So.
And let me just add this as a vocabulary word for people that are starting to learn about their retirement accounts, and whether you have a 401k or 403b or Roth or traditional. If you're in what's called a fixed account and you don't manage it, more often than not, it may be an annuity. If they say, oh, we'll put you in something that's going to guarantee you 2 or 3%, that's what Lorik is talking about. That's the type of fund.
And even with annuities, read the fine print.
Exactly.
And the internal fees that go with the annuities. I'm not here saying yes or no, left or right. I'm saying be aware.
Yeah, because they can get very expensive. What else you want to tell us, Lord?
Well,
go ahead.
No, I just want to interject because I talked to Lord about this. He shared with me a story that I asked him before, and he doesn't have to call names, but I think it's very important that all of our listeners understand the value of investing in your 401k and your 403b, regardless of where you are, because it's free money. And Lord was sharing with me right before the program started a story that we discussed right after he retired, and he came to one of the Better Investing meetings in South Florida and was sharing that he and a coworker from the police department, and we don't have to call his name, started about the same time, retired about the same time, and I'll let you share the rest of the story and the difference in your portfolio, the story you were sharing. So if you would please share that, because I think it's very powerful for people to know, even at the fact of the age you started late.
Yeah. He ended up taking about a 40% hit on his portfolio, which is jarring when you're getting ready to retire. So if you're looking at, walking out the door with $1 million and within 3 months you have $600,000, it's very hard to recover from something like that. Because I was aware of some things, when I got ready to leave, I moved complete cash because I wasn't going to let that happen. I had made a lot of money through. I had made it through the big downturn and everything like that. But when I walked out the door, I knew I was going to walk out with the exact dollar amount that happened. That actually happened with somebody else, and I didn't share it with you. The other family member I was doing, her, because she worked for a bank, her entire retirement was in that bank stock, which was great while she was working because she was buying it at a discounted price. You can buy a stock at a point of discount, kind of hard to lose with that. But when she got ready to retire, I said, sell it now. And I mean, like, right now. And I'm telling you, within a week, that account would have been out $8,000 had we not sold it. So that's the power of knowledge. Because there does come a time to sell, trust me. There does come a time to sell, and that was a big part of it. I don't even want to think of what would have happened if she would have left it in that particular bank stock after she retired. She would not be a happy camper right now. So.
And you have to tell us about Give and Save 365. I think you see it on your virtual background, but you have to share the story because I think it's so simple, the idea and the business that you started. We really want our listeners to understand how they can connect with you because it's a very powerful story. And even being on the big screen at the New York in New York, I always remember seeing it. So
that was a good moment. That was a good moment.
Yeah. So where did the idea come from to do that?
So Give and Save came out of two people, my pastor, Victor Curry, and my grandmother, correctly named Victoria. So the two V's in my life gave it to me. Bishop Curry talked about the importance of tithing and giving to church. So I'm a believer in that. I'm a strong believer in that. And my grandmama had this saying that if you make a dollar, save a dime. That if you make a large, you make a dollar, but she actually told my older brother, if you Harold, you make a dollar, save a dime, you'll never go broke. So where I got confused at is I knew people who made good money, but were stingy. They would not give you a dollar for a bottle of water if you were on fire. I knew other people who were extremely generous. They would give you a shirt off their back, but they were constantly struggling with money. So I came to believe there has to be a sweet spot of both. And my belief is that if you're going to give, you should save as well as give. So whatever you're giving, if it's 10%, if it's 2%, if it's 1%, you should be saving the same thing for yourself. The goal is to, as you empower and give value to other people, like to give value to your own life. Take care of self and family first. So that's how the give and save concept started. I use it. Yeah, I don't know what our group is. I see we got a big group of listeners, so I'm grateful for that. But I don't know what our age group is or anything like that. So one of the things that I do, though, is I wrote it in a way that is simple enough that you can read it in one session and get started that day. Back to procrastination, start smart, start soon, start small. So I'm going to take a second here, and I'm going to do a screen share with you guys' permission.
Yes, please.
Okay.
And also, I want to remind all of our listeners that you can give us your questions in the chat. And if you're on social media, please text your questions in the comment section because we are live, and anybody who has a question is glad to take that question and answer. Okay, Laura, thanks.
Okay. So there's my book. It retails for $6.99 on Amazon, Easy Money Management. It's a micro book. You can read it in one sitting. And I designed it that way because, you know, you ask about what took me so long. A lot of times when I went to different seminars about money management, they would leave there with this notebook full of instructions. Go home, write down how much you spend on coffee, do this, do that, this. And basically people just would do nothing. Because if you give people too much to do, they're going to do nothing. I said I was going to write something that you can read in one session, start right away. Because I'm a firm believer that small things done are better than great things planned. I would rather you leave here today and start and do it than leave here today and wait another year before you do anything. So that's my book. You can find it on Amazon. And even you can, if you don't want to buy it, go to Audible and take a trial of Audible, and you can listen to it and then cancel the trial at the end of the month. It won't cost you anything. You can go to Kindle and go to their free website. You can read it for free and give it back. No excuse, absolutely no excuse for not doing it. I promised before we started that I was going to put Eileen on the spot. So Eileen, you're on the spot. This book grew out of back to Newburgh. We were doing a session for young people, high school students and college students at Newburgh, and they asked me to talk about finances. And what it was done in a breakout way. So you would take a group of young people, they go to a room, and they talk about date rape. They go to another room and talk about drunk driving. Well, my room was finance. My belief was if I couldn't teach them something in 5 minutes, that they would just leave. They would listen, and they'd all smile, but they'd believe they're not being any better off. And so I came up with a 5-minute crash course on money management, which I'm getting ready to teach out only. Are you ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
Here's your 5-minute crash course on money management. There's three broad ways that you can handle money. You have to know this before you start investing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you don't know this, you're never going to have any money to invest. Okay, so the three ways is there's going broke, going into debt, and getting ahead and staying ahead. The going broke money habit of money management is when you people say they live hand to mouth as fast. After they make a check, they spend it. In fact, back in my day, you could cash your check at the liquor store, and they would cash at the liquor store, pay the liquor store off, and start buying liquor right then. So that's the going broke style. The going into debt style is this. You make $100, and instead of just spending $100, you borrow $10 before payday even gets here. So you're already spending next week's money before it ever gets here. Now when it gets here, you didn't make $100, you actually made $90. It's a leaky boat, and eventually it's going to sink. And that's how you get people who are making $300,000 a year, but they out of work, they're homeless in 6 months. Because it's not what you make, it's how much you keep and how you invest it. All right? And then the last way, number three, is if you make $100, you save $10, you give $10 to a good cause, and you only live on aid. Just don't try to figure it out. Just agree to only live on 80. The same way, if you have a check, you can't spend more than you make. Just agree right there that $80 is what you made, and don't spend over that. If you can get that habit in place, you will go through your entire life without being broke. Now, I taught them that in 5 minutes. The beauty of that is I've actually run into some of those young people, and years later, they can recite that lesson. So here's my tip. I own it. Teach me what I just taught you.
Okay, so number one, you go broke if you spend immediately what you have. Two, you'll find yourself in debt if you ended up borrowing money before you even got your paycheck. And then third, in order to stay ahead, make money and stay ahead, is to only spend $80 out of the 100 that you get, saving 10 and giving 10 away.
You know, and that's the five numbers that I taught. And everybody I taught up to, I got him actually getting his PhD at Stanford now. He's the room that I taught him when he came over to my house one Christmas. So that was the first thing. And my book grew out of that 5-minute course. So that was the initial concept. Now, back to investing right away. If you go to my website, which is giveandsave365.com, and I think it's in the chat room, giveandsave365.com, you click on blog, you'll see a link down here for Acorns. And if you go to Acorns, you click on that Acorns link, you can actually open a brokerage account for less than $10. Which means you can go in there, you can open your brokerage account, and once you put $10 in there, you can buy whatever stock, $10 worth of whatever stock, well, actually $9 because it's going to cost you $9 of whatever stock you want. But what happens now is you actually have a real investment. It is not a theoretical thing. Acorns will do invest for you one or two ways. You can set it up and say, listen, I want to save $1 a day, $7 a week, and they'll deduct that from your account. Or you can say, I just want to invest my spare change. And they'll tie it to an account, and whatever you spend, $1.49, 51 cents gets held to be invested. And all that pools into Acorn. Now, there is Warren Buffett said that he tried to buy a company that an idiot could run because eventually they're going to put an idiot in charge. This here is a non-thinking way to start investing. It's automatic. It's your spare change. And you'll get a report every month that now allows you to have real money in the market and seeing what it's doing. Okay? I'm going to go off screen share now. Again, that website is giveandsave365.com. And also, if you go on that website and go to contact, my information is there. I'm very findable. So when this is over, if you want to talk to me, if you just go to that website, and there I am, go to the contact tab, and I'm there as well. All my information, and that's me. It's not a call center. It's me. It's my phone number. It's my address. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. I am to be found. I am available. So there's your rule for procrastination is now gone. You can find me. You can do it for less than $10. You can read the book free if you don't want to pay $6.99. Now, if that doesn't exhort you to action, I give. Okay?
Thank you, Lord. Back to Anne.
Yes. Listen, I'm taking notes. I already have I have the note that says time in the market versus timing the market. Dennis, this quote, the big difference between what you talked about. You know, actually, can we ask our guests, those who are on listening, if they can put one takeaway or one action?
Yeah.
Can you put at least one takeaway, everybody, if you're listening live? You know, let us know what at least one thing you heard that's an aha and or one action you're going to take. Because Laura just shared with us about Acorn, and if you are serious about your money, it's really no reason you can't participate in that. It's just, if you're serious. Now, if you're not serious, we really cannot help you. And our desire is to come on and share this information. And I think you've already heard about a little bit about who we are, and you heard a little bit about who we're not. But what I'd like to do right now is talk a little bit about better investing. Currently, our events are online. Our chapter in particular is made up of local volunteers. Our goal is investor education for investment clubs and our members in South Florida in particular, but you can go to betterinvesting.org. We have a 90-day free membership, and our unit is going to share that information. She's also going to share information about the stock market game for kids, a contest we're running, a challenge this summer for the students. We also assist in the formation of new clubs. We also visit clubs, whether it's online right now, and then when this crisis is over, it will go back to visiting clubs in person. Ione actually handles a lot of that. For additional information about our club and any club and chapter in the United States, you can find all of us at betterinvesting.org. let's talk a little bit about what we're not, right? We are not day traders. And Lord talks about not being a certified financial planner. We are simply just volunteers. We're not professional investment advisors or stockbrokers or bond traders. We don't deal in penny stocks. We don't teach buying on margin. We don't teach technical analysis or charting. We don't teach option trading. And we don't get paid for what we do. We don't earn commission. We're just volunteers. Volunteers with a passion, because I can speak for myself. Better investing volunteers help me to learn how to earn through education. And Ione right there by my side, and it's been over 20 years for us. Starting with $20. $20. And so I really just want to encourage all of our listeners to connect with Better Investing. And Ione, I'll turn it back over to you if you want to share a screen and just share the information where people can find the information about the 90-day free membership, so that people can not have an excuse. And Michelle, if we can also put that in the chat, I think it would be very helpful for people to know where they can go for that free membership. So if you want to share the screen, Ione, I think I just stopped sharing. Thank you. And then also, I know that you can share about the stock market game. And even though we're closing up, I think it's very important for people to know if they have kids, that they can get that information to their kids and share that. So you're on mute, Ione.
So if you saw, I just opened up a web browser and I put in betterinvesting.org right here on the homepage. All you need to do is scroll down to the very bottom of the page and hit the free 90-day trial. Once you get there, you can, continue to click on this and fill out the necessary information to start your 90-day trial. Once you have signed up, whether you want to go ahead and pay, or do your trial first to see what the learning options are. Learn About Investing is here. There are a host of articles, classes online, and broken out by local chapters, so chapters near you, and then also free videos. So I helped somebody go here yesterday because, there's a question I'm going to ask Lorik in the chat, but somebody is asking, how do I find what stocks I want to buy? And just coming here and watching the video on Introduction to Stock Investing helps you to do just that.
I answered that in the chat, but I'll answer it again. But I did answer that in the chat. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we do want to verbalize the questions because and I think I want to show one more thing. Well, we do want to verbalize the questions for the sake of anybody else not on this current platform that can't access the chat.
Okay, no problem.
So right here, the Better Investing Magazine, which is a great resource, you will be able to go to past issues. Again, here, Better Investing, try out for free 90 days. If you do decide to do this, again, undervalued stock right here, growth and value stocks, and not only are they're not giving you tips or tricks, they're actually doing stock studies. That's what we teach here at Better Investing. The funny thing about investing is that if you do it right and if you have the mindset of doing it for the long term, it's just like any other long-term decision that you make in your life. You want something steady. You want something predictable. You want something that's going to make money. And you also want to know how they make money. So if you do come on here and then click also on the Better Investing Magazine, please check out the April 2020 magazine, because the April 2020 magazine actually lists the top 100 stocks held by all of the Better Investing Investment Clubs, and they list the next 200 stocks that are also held. So right there is 200 creme de la creme stocks that are held by investment clubs that have been profitable. And funny enough, a little known secret about better investing, especially our investment clubs, is that generally, based on our own self-study, we do outperform the market. Whether it's by a percentage point or two, and you could speak to this even when you were with Polaris, you know, just meeting once a month, doing your stock studies, you know, it's not surprising that Better Investing members are able to find those profitable stocks and able to make money in the short term and the long term.
Yeah, and I'll say this, and I know this still holds true. The other funny thing about the Better Investing chapters doing better in the market is, and then for whatever reason, mixed sex clubs do better than single sex clubs.
Right, and women clubs do better than men clubs.
Not always, I'm telling you. No, mixed clubs do the best. So,
yes, mixed clubs do the best.
They're the best, so yeah. I don't know why that is. I have no idea why that is, but it is.
Share a perspective. Yeah, it's shared perspective.
Yeah.
It's a diversification perspective.
Yeah.
It's like kids, when you have kids in a club, and we realized this many years ago, the kids are familiar with the growing products and services in their space.
Right.
As grown-ups, we never think about that. So when you add kids to a diversified club with a family and grown-ups, you have a better diversification because you're bringing in a difference of opinion and ideas. So that's one of the reasons why I think that we have a better return on the investment of energy, we'll call it that.
Good.
Yeah.
Also, I want to give my high school English teacher, Ms. Yvonne Gable, a shout out here. She taught me the word reiterate, and it means to say something in a different way. And I said time in the market, and he only said long-term investing. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
This is better investing teaches long-term investing. Better investing teaches time in the market. If you want to do cryptocurrency, you want to do day trading, this is not the place for you.
No.
Part of what happens with better investing is by doing the monthly and not being allowed to jump in and out of the market, it takes the emotion out of investing. This is not the racetrack. This is not the casino. This is investing. Do it soberly. Do it with sense. Do it smart.
Yeah. So that is the difference between trading and investing. And I'm going to ask this this question aloud first, before I ask the question, today's shout out actually goes to Kay Myers because she has just purchased her first few shares of stock earlier this week. So congratulations to Katie. And so Katie also asked, how do I know which stocks to invest in? Right now my choices are random, just so that I
could
get started, but I
want to
be more strategic. So, Lorik?
So, I asked that in chat, so I'll say verbally what I said in chat. For beginning investors, I recommend that you start out by investing in either an index fund or a mutual fund that tracks the S&P 500. When people use the term market generically, usually when they say market, they're referring to the three big indexes, NASDAQ, which is about 2,900 companies, S&P 500, or Dow, which is about 30 companies, 30 of the biggest companies. Usually the S&P is probably the best gauge of the market. It's 500 companies, and it covers the eight broad, and depending on what year it is, eight, nine, whatever, sectors, you know, communications, consumer, disposal, those kind of things. The reason I say the S&P is statistically, 80% of the stocks don't outperform the S&P 500. So again, back to the Warren Buffett rule of you want something that even somebody smart can't mess up. If you're invested in the S&P 500, you're already doing better than 80% of the market without ever thinking. Now, you want to do better than that, you know, wait until you learn. But for now, do that. The other reason I say do that is because if you always hold an S&P 500 holding in your portfolio, you can always know how you're doing. If that fund is outdoing what you're doing, you're doing something wrong. Because one of them you're doing a lot of work with, and one of them you're not. So if you always have a position, I don't care, it could be a $500, $1,000 position in the S&P 500. But if you have that position in your portfolio, that lets you know what would have happened if you had just left it there and left it on autopilot. And Spider, which is an ETF, also pays dividends. So of the S&P 500, there are certain companies that pay dividends. Spider will pay the dividend and reinvest the dividend for you. All right. It is the best yardstick for letting you know, because there's a, you know, there's a lot of what they call vanity metrics in investing. And because there's a lot of movement, you get the feeling that you're doing something, and you may not be. If you have that S&P ruler right next to you, you know if you're doing something. If you're investing in Habit Hamburger and whatever, 3D printing and Macy's, and that one S&P holding is outdoing them, that's got to tell you something. And listen to what it's telling you. So.
That actually is the essence of working smarter, not harder. And if anybody was on, I believe it was last week's show with Byron Williams, he also mentioned per Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett said, if you only did one thing, just buy an index fund that that reflects the S&P 500, and you'll be fine. So don't make it harder than it has to be. I told somebody actually last week that that was actually the very first fund that I bought when I started my Roth IRA at 14. I only had one mutual fund, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund.
Yeah.
And I consistently invested in that for the next 17 years on autopilot before I even bought my first stock inside of my retirement account.
Right.
So that's just a word to the wise.
Probably got a good picture of you and directing you on that decision, but okay, go ahead.
And just knowing that
it's the other way around. She advises me.
you know, it is one of those things where you know, I like to use the health analogy of, yeah, you can count calories. Yeah, you could, you know, do CrossFit. Yeah, you could do all these things, but you don't have to. If you just drink a certain amount of water a day and walk, you know, 3,000 steps, 5,000 steps, just do those two basic minimum things, the health of your life will change. You know, you don't have to even get on a scale. You will feel it. So it is about consistency. It is about doing what you can and not allowing what you don't know to stop you.
Right.
So I would say start there. And if you are considering or looking at investing in stocks but have not looked at your retirement plan, please reverse that and do it the other way around, because you don't want to miss out on the free money that your company is probably offering you every pay period if you got started. So some people don't know that right there, depending on how much you put in, is 100% return of your money, regardless of what the market is.
Now, I got to say something, too. Now that you said that, and I'm sorry, I don't know how I missed ever telling you that. The first place I did start, even though I had the play accounts, I did have real money in my deferred comp account. And the first thing I said, before I do anything else, I'm going to figure out what I'm doing with that deferred comp. And I did. I went from fixed to eight, to finally just one index. But I did start with that. So right now, a lot of people have, and they're working 40 years. Well, I just got money in my 401k, and I'm telling you, out of 10 people I ask, how's your 401k invested? None of them can answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you have one exchange traded fund that you understand.
Exactly.
You get your report, then they'd be spread all over, you know, the land, thinking, oh, I'm diversified. So I had a niece that got hurt, and how she got hurt is irrelevant, but she won a lawsuit. But when she got a lawsuit, the first thing I did was took a small amount of her money and put it in S&P. So I can remember the first time she called and said, I got a dividend. She was so excited. But start small, start soon, and start smart. And that's what I did for her. And now she's, God bless her, she's in the Air Force, she's doing great. But she, like you, she's doing the same thing. That's her only one holding. And she every paper she adds to that.
Thank you so much. Diane, I think we have another question before we prepare to wrap up. We
want
to thank everybody for joining us. This has been phenomenal. And, Laura, we have been following you, and this is so awesome about what you're doing with 365, because it's so basic. The information about Acorn, but I want to make sure Ione shares some information about the stock market game, because we do have youth that we're working with for the summer, and it's a phenomenal program. But Ione, I think you may have a couple of questions in the chat.
Yeah, so one question in the chat that I have now, and I'm putting the answer in the chat now, but the question is, my children have a savings account. Do they need to have a checking account to start an investing account?
They don't, but what will happen is on the savings account, you probably can't automate the transfers, so then once a month they would just transfer it over. That's how you can make a savings account to invest. You can make a savings account to Acorn, but you have to transfer it yourself. They won't do any auto transfers out of the savings account because you get into some issues of you can only do so many withdrawals per month or else you run afoul of federal law and stuff like that. But, yeah, you can do it from the savings. I actually recommend a savings account. That's super. But what I like, too, about Acorn, there's like three platforms that are very Acorn, Robinhood, StockPath. What I like about them, too, is if you really want to do the lady who kept my boys when they were small, she gave them one gift their whole life. It was this little ball that expands and contracts. I love that little ball. But anyway, every Christmas, every birthday, she gave them a savings box. So when they hit 18, I gave it to them. Said, okay, here's what Olive gave you guys. So one of the things I like about the Acorn accounts and stuff like that is tell family members, listen, whatever you plan to give them, spend half of it on a gift and give half of it to their investment account. It will bless them in ways you can't imagine. So.
Exactly. The gift that keeps on giving.
That's tweetable. Mark, also, please make sure you put your social media information in the chat so people can follow you and your website also.
So I put the website in the chat, and what I did, and again, because I try to make things simple, go to my site, and all my links are on my site.
Michelle's been on it. She's been putting it in. If anybody has any last questions, please put it here in the chat. I wasn't going to talk about this, but Ann would like me to, so I will. Per the, I just forgot the name, but let's call it the foundation, financial literacy for communities of color. So we, with Bob Wynn and Asset Builders up in Madison, Wisconsin, are working with kids all across the country, especially in South Florida. We have a roster of, I think, about 36 kids right now that are going to go through a 10-week program with the stock market game, which you can also look up. It gives them $100,000, similar to what Lori did, $100,000 for 10 weeks. To see what type of investment strategies they come up. Now, the reason why I think that this is a great experience for all of the students that signed up is because, number one, it's all about exposure. Just like Lorik said, sometimes we don't allow children to really be responsible with money until they're much, much older, and then they become responsible for all of life at the same time. So that's like, you know, being in a relationship and having rent and trying to share expenses and having student debt and having a car loan and all of those things where they didn't even probably get the lesson that you could make your money work for you at an early age. So one, I think that this is going to be great exposure for those students. This specific program, of course, is going to reward you based on trading. Different than what Lord talked about today, different than what we talk about, but I still think that that's a very good experience to have because either you like it or you don't. And if you like it, you know that, okay, maybe that is something for me. Maybe I can find a career in it. Maybe I want to actually be a day trader. To me, more power to you. If any student goes through this experience and finds out that they don't like the experience or they took too long to make decisions and weren't as quick to win a lot of money or make a lot of money and win the ultimate prize, they, I think, can end up finding solace in better investing because they may actually like to be more of a long-term investor because their mindset already at that age may tend more toward building wealth versus making a lot of money quick. So either way, it does give students of color who may not even had the experience before an opportunity to make money decisions. $100,000, 10 weeks. They're paired with no more than four other students. So it's of teams up to five, two advisors, access to financial advisors, access to people in the industry, access to long-term investors, access to people in the financial field as a career, because we will be doing kind of like a career day at the end so that they can get exposure to what is it like to work for a financial services firm or for a bank or this and that. So that is what we're doing. This week is the last week of planning. We kick it off June 15th.
It will end. Link to, I'd like to track that.
Okay.
I'd like to watch what's going on with that.
And it ends August 21st. Go ahead.
I got a good quote for you on that. Somebody asked me one time, how soon should you start teaching kids about money? And I take Robert Kiyosaki's answer. Offer them a 10, offer them a 5. If they ask for the 10, they already know about money.
And with that, I am actually going to start bringing a book on screen every week. I have my book ready, but Lord brought it up.
Okay.
So the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, if you are looking for something in addition to Lord's book, this is a really good book by Robert Kiyosaki, and it talks about what Lord just mentioned. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, and thank you, Alan. I've been hearing just great things about you, wonderful things about you, and you have not left me wanting. And God bless you for all the work you do, all the encouragement you are. I like your Think and Grow Rich platform. Just thank you. Thank you all. And thank everybody that's here. You know, these are difficult times, my brother Kelsey passed away. He was 73, passed away in January. The chick used to tell me that if you're ever feeling down, do push-ups, take a walk, or read a book. And the reason is, once you're no longer feeling down, you will at least be better off than when you started. So this pandemic has given you an opportunity. So I'm going to say, when it comes to your money, do something, start now. So when this is over, you're already on track to do something better and greater.
Well.
And you heard it from Lorik, who worked somewhere for 27 plus years, retired with a seven-figure portfolio, and it is a blessing to everybody that he meets, his family, teaching all of us, sharing his information. Somebody that looked like your uncle, probably somebody that looked like your granddaddy. So that is why we're doing this show.
All right, Ione and Lorik. And Ione, I think we should also invite Lorik to come and talk with the kids, because I think we'll be very informative as a part of the money stock market game, because we do have a lot of opportunity for education with the youth and also the advisors. And so we will be contacting you, Lorik, to come back. We want to thank everybody. But before we leave, please, everybody, give us your takeaway. We're going to wrap up. We have a couple of minutes. If you could just give us one takeaway and or one action you're going to take from this presentation, because I think it's very important that we track people's action and hold them accountable. Track the action and hold them accountable. And for those of you who are members, the National Association of Investment Corporations, better known as Better Investing, is having an annual conference this month online. So you can go to betterinvesting.org again and click that link if you are a member. A few months ago, last month, we actually hosted our Financial Empowerment Conference on Zoom, and we can share that information. But do we have any comments before we wrap up, Marshall or Ione, regarding comments that people have made about what action they're going to take or an aha moment that they got from Lorik? Oh, Ione is not there. So let me... Okay, so people, Wilbur's going to connect with you. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay, thank you. Lorik, a lot of people are going to connect with you.
I'm there. Wow. I love doing it, and I'm going to tell you, and you're one of my heroes. I'll say it publicly. I'll say it anywhere. I'll shrink it. You're one of my heroes, girl. So you call, I'm coming.
Thank you so much. I think that sounds like a very good place to close before I get to come emotional. All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. And we want to thank everybody for joining us every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're right here with My Investing Story. We have another phenomenal guest that will be on next week. And Michelle, if you want to come on and share for our guest who's going to be on next week. Also, we want to share with everybody, if you are joining us on Zoom, if you would save the chat, and you can save the chat by going to the participants. If you see where it says everyone, right to the right of everyone, if you click that link right to where the right side of where the word says everyone, if you click that link, you can see where it says save the chat. And if you click save the chat and then you click in folder, you can actually save all of the links that we've shared here in the chat. And if you are listening live on Facebook, then we can also share that with you. Just give us your information, and we can make sure that you get access to these links. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. Ione, if you have any closing words, we want to thank all of the support. Doretha, helping us with the chat, with the Blog Talk Radio Show. Marshall and Michelle, we could not do this without all of you, and Ione, my co-host. But, Lorik, you made the day very special, and all I can remember seeing is 365. It has such power. Imagine $1 a day. We talked about pennies, but I think that if everyone listening can just imagine what $1 a day can do when compounded over 5, 10, 20, 30, we won't even talk about 40 years. It is phenomenal. Actually, it's six figures.
It is.
So the power is in compounding, but like Lorik said, if you don't do anything else, at least start. So, Lorik, I'm going to have you, share the closing words, and then we'll wrap up. Any closing words?
Start soon, start small, start smart.
All right. Thank you. Awesome. All right, everybody, have a good evening, and thank you so very much for joining.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.